live. It's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Cause every minute, every hour, you'll be shaken by the strange and mighty power.
Back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. During that last local news update, talked about the Winter Games. 2034, Salt Lake City is going to host the Winter Games yet again. By that point, it had been 3 decades which have passed since the last time Utah got to host the Winter Games. That's amazing to me to think about. We had our very own Aiden Mortensen on location Tuesday night, Wednesday morning when the announcement was made. Blessed to have Aiden down here, one of the best reporters in Eastern Utah. Now he's joining us in the studio to talk about that experience and what this means. Aiden, it's great to get you in here on the show. I know you and I pass talk all the time, but now we can do it on the air and talk about something that I know you're pretty passionate about, and that's the Winter Games coming back here to Utah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. This is just, it's an exciting moment because we were talking about it beforehand. I wasn't alive for the last Winter Olympics in Utah, which is a little weird to think about because it's so exciting, and it shows how well-maintained everything kind of is in the state facility-wise, because, I mean, everything, you can barely tell that it was built for the 2002 Olympics. It's just, it all looks very new.
It just doesn't seem that long ago. I mean, I was in high school. I had just got my driver's license when the Winter Games were here. So I guess in that sense, yeah, it's been a little while, but boy, the fact that you weren't even born make my gray hair feel really old, Aiden. What was the atmosphere like on Tuesday night? Because, you know, I got to believe there was no surprise element to it. The reason you took a drive up to the Salt Lake County building was because we knew that Utah was going to get the Olympics in 2034. So what was that like?
Yeah, so everyone knew that Utah was going to be receiving that 2034 Olympic bid because they were the last one, or last bid standing, I should say. But the environment there was just, it was so incredible. I mean, it was kind of a uniting moment in Utah. I mean, lately it seems like a lot of division has been going out across the world, but this is something that really brought Utahns together. I mean, there was about, I think, 2,000 people there at Washington Square at the Salt Lake City Hall, and just everyone there was so excited, united in the singular passion of rooting for Utah getting the Winter Olympics back, and you could just feel it in the air. Like, as soon as you got within a block of it, you could feel the excitement in the air, and just at random points, KSL was broadcasting the live coverage of the final presentation to the International Olympic Committee. And every time they'd pan to a crowd shot, people would lose their minds. Like, people were, they were just excited to be there and excited to be sharing in this moment with people. I was talking to people who I will probably never see again and yeah, probably wouldn't have talked to any if this wasn't the situation. But you just meet so many people who are so passionate about Utah getting back the Olympics.
Well, it was actually the last time that the United States played host to the Olympic Games. That's how long it's been, right? We haven't had an Olympic Games in this country since 2002.
Yeah, and that's it's incredible to think about because, you know, you think about the United States a lot of the times on the global scale, and you think we're probably one of the biggest sports capitals in the world. And so that being that long since we've been able to host an Olympics, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we had 2002, which was in Salt Lake, and then the 80 and 32 Winter Olympics, those were in Lake Placid. So, yeah, I mean, it's not something that comes around every day. And here's the one thing that I can say about the Olympics, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong here. There are people that have legitimate problems with athletics. There are people that believe athletes are overpaid or they're overpublicized. Typically, those are the people that are into performing arts. I'm just going to be honest with you. Those type of people typically have a problem with athletics and the attention that it receives. And so I had to ask myself, why are so many people in the state of Utah excited about the Olympics? And I come to the conclusion that, A, they're amateur athletes, for the most part, and that matters, right? People like amateur athletes. But for the artsy-fartsy crowd, we actually have like a Cirque du Soleil show before every medal ceremony, right? I've seen people dressed up as lions and tigers performing before the medals were handed out. I guess it just brings culture and the world together. That's typical. I mean, that's the way I view the Olympics.
You know, and I completely agree with that. It does have that element of theatrics. I mean, you have the big opening ceremonies, the big closing ceremonies. The place that's taken the next Olympics always brings out their culture to accept the torch. And so, yeah, it really does unite all those communities together because, like you said, amateur athletes, pretty hard to dislike a lot of them because they're doing this for the love of the game. You don't get paid much to be an Olympian, but it's something that you do to represent not just yourself, but your country. And it's one of those moments that unites everyone, across everything, whether it be politics. People just kind of unite to cheer on their country during the Olympics. You kind of set everything aside, and you want to see your country win. But yeah, like you were saying, the big ceremonies before the medals get awarded, it's just a lot of entertainment, different kinds of genres going into one thing.
And it's weird because I absolutely hate the Super Bowl halftime show. I could not care less if it's Katy Perry, if it's Eminem, if it's The Weeknd, whoever it is. I hate the halftime show when it comes to the Super Bowl, but it doesn't bother me with the Olympics. It never really has. And I'm not a huge fan of the Olympics. There are certain aspects of it that I really enjoy, but it's never bothered me with the Olympics because it truly is an event. Now, one of the things that you had mentioned in your report that we had on social media and just in the news a few moments ago is what this is going to do for the economy. Okay, so if you're still not sold on the Winter Olympics, if you're not sold on the theatrics, if I haven't enticed you to take part in the Olympics as a spectator yet, the one thing we all could agree on is we love a good economy, and this is going to bring $6 billion to Utah's economy.
Yeah, and that's something that's going to be huge for the state, and they were kind of talking about it earlier in the news that the main bulk of this is going to come from ticket sales. So tickets are going to be expensive, but they've already planned ahead in order to get Utahns kind of an edge in that department. They're giving out 34,000 tickets for only $34 to residents of Utah. So it's a chance to still make a big bulk of money, but also give Utahns the chance to come see an event that everyone was really excited for. But yeah, the economic implications of the Olympics coming to Salt Lake, not just for America, but Utah specifically, that's something that is really going to help bolster our economy for years to come once we have this event.
Well, so 34,000 tickets for $34 a piece. When does this kind of stuff start going on sale? I mean, we're a decade away, and they already have that price point figured out. I mean, did they give you guys logistics on any of this?
They haven't given us any logistics yet, but I'd expect tickets to probably start going on sale about a year before. So keep an eye out for that 2033.
If we have a country by that point. When we look at everything else that's going into the Winter Olympic Games, what's next now? Did they talk about that? I know that Spencer Cox, we heard from him, right? So what's next? We're still a decade away.
So the next part is kind of getting ready to build that infrastructure for the Olympic Games, and that means kind of maintaining the upkeep we already have on our existing Olympic facilities while also kind of building more infrastructure. So people have thrown out the idea of a lot of public transport needed to be built for this Olympic Games because a lot of European countries, very, very walkable, very close. I don't think a lot of people really expect to come to Utah and have everything kind of so distanced out. So that's something I think we're going to have to do is kind of build some infrastructure, probably expand the tracks railway just a little bit so that people are able to more easily commute because a lot of it's going to be taking place across the Wasatch Front, part from Park City, Salt Lake to Provo. It's just all over the place. So being able to have some of that transport is going to be key for Utah.
What were they talking about as far as locations for things? I mean, how widespread are we actually talking about in the state?
We're really mainly just focusing on the Wasatch Front from everything that they were saying. So I think the farthest north it is going to get is Park City with the ski jumping facilities. And then it's going to work its way down to about Provo area where they'll hold the events like speed skating, figure skating, events like that. So not really the most widest branching thing. You could probably travel it all in about 3 hours by car, but still a very large scale for the Olympics.
I think that the more understanding I get of the Olympics, and I'm talking over the last 12, 16 years, this idea that everything takes place at one central location, I mean, that was a thought I had as a kid. Obviously, that's not the case, right? But here we're talking very widespread. Park City to Salt Lake, I mean, that's quite the little jaunt.
yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing to see how we kind of prepare for that. But again, we do have about 10 years to get ready for that. So that's plenty of time to kind of develop the infrastructure we'll need in order to get from point A to point B a little bit more effectively. And the biggest, the one thing I found very interesting is there is actually a cancellation clause in Salt Lake's contract for this. If Utah decides to abide by the USDA's drug testing standards instead of WADA's drug testing standards, which is the international standard of drug testing. And that was a big point of controversy during that final presentation.
This is always a big sticking point in boxing, USADA against WADA. So Utah right now, are they hesitant to move to WADA?
From what I could gather, they didn't seem hesitant at all. Spencer Cox spoke that he would fully support WADA in this endeavor. So I don't think that will be a problem based on what Cox was saying. But then again, things could change 10 years down the line.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you can be on the side of USADA. You can be on the side of WADA. When you talk about $6.6 billion, you're going to side with whoever brings in $6.6 billion, right? If that's the lone sticking point, to me, that should be a non-issue.
Yeah, no, I don't think it should be an issue at all. But then again, sometimes people just, they choose these weird, they pick their fights very oddly. And if this is the hill they want to die on, I think I think that's a mistake for Utah that would probably irreversibly harm our economy.
Yeah, I would say so. Aiden, before I let you go, I got to move on to the next segment here in a moment, but I want to get your perspective once again on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, when you were outside the Salt Lake City County building. What was the biggest takeaway that you had in those moments, be it from an event standpoint or be it from a 2034 standpoint? Just in general, what was the biggest takeaway?
Just it was something that united all ages. Like, we've seen a lot of kind of generational warfare going around on social media, but this is something that united people from the oldest generation down to my generation to even younger. And it's something that really brought us together as a community. It was really a beautiful moment to see as soon as the bid was announced that Salt Lake had gotten it, and the SLC chants broke out all across the venue, about 2,000 people all chanting that. It was just a great moment.
And you're going to be my guy when it comes to Olympic talk, because I know that since the announcement has been made, we're not done until 2034. We have a lot to do between now and then. We have a lot to report on between now and then. And so we'll be pulling you in here for some Olympic updates.
Oh, absolutely. Always happy to be here.
Again, that's Aiden Mortensen, our very own here at Castle Country Radio. And you can follow his reports at CastleCountryRadio.com or with the Castle Country Radio app, and also on all social media platforms. The Winter Games coming in 2034. Aiden wasn't even born yet when those popped up in 2002. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's unfathomable to me, but that's where we're at, man. We are getting old. Hey, we've got to pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up here when we return. We're going to flip to the national scene, and we're going to be joined by former pro heavyweight contender Jerry Cooney. At one time, Cooney was a part of the highest grossing fight in the history of boxing. It was a fight that was definitely race driven, as he stepped in the ring with Larry Holmes, losing in round 13 due to stoppage. Cooney would also go on fight Michael Spinks and even the great George Foreman. We're going to talk about his career and that epic legendary night against Larry Holmes. I'm excited for this one, and that's coming up next when we return. It's Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios.